Good morning and welcome to Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the San Diego Lincoln Financial Media Stations. I'm Tommy Howe. Located on San Diego Bay, just south of the city of San Diego, the Chula Vista Nature Center has been a South Bay institution for over 20 years, dedicated to providing environmental education on coastal resource conservation and instilling a respect for nature and wildlife in people of all ages. Rescued birds thrive at Nature Center exhibits like Raptor Row and Eagle Mesa. Owls, pelicans, gnatcatchers, and eagles are a few of the Nature Center's resident native birds. The Chula Vista Nature Center has hosted thousands of school children for field trips, science classes, scout events, and other kid-friendly opportunities. And in 2010, the Nature Center transitioned from a public, taxpayer-funded institution to an independent 501c3 nonprofit organization. The Chula Vista Nature Center is now changing its name to the Living Coast Discovery Center. And as part of the center's fundraising efforts, they're hosting their annual Where the Wild Things Are Food and Wine Classic on Saturday, June 2nd from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. The event will feature food and wine, as well as live cooking demonstrations, music, and opportunities to meet the different animals who call the Nature Center home. Guests will also be able to experience the Nature Center's Washed Ashore exhibit, featuring massive sculptures and art pieces made from marine debris washed ashore and designed to raise awareness about the global crisis of single-use, disposable plastic winding up in the world's oceans. And joining us today to talk all about the Chula Vista Nature Center, now Living Coast Discovery Center, is Dr. Brian Joseph, the Executive Director of the Living Coast Discovery Center. A native of Chula Vista, Dr. Joseph is a graduate of Southwestern College and San Diego State University, as well as the University of California's School of Veterinary Medicine. Dr. Joseph is a Marine veterinary consultant and serves as a veterinary officer in the U.S. Army Reserve. He returned from his most recent deployment overseas last year. He's heading overseas again to Guatemala shortly. And also joining us today to talk more about the Where the Wild Things Are Food and Wine Classic on June 2nd is Dr. Joseph's executive assistant, Anna Ransler. Dr. Joseph, Anna, welcome to Living Better in San Diego. It is great to have the two of you here today. Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice of you to have us in.
Thank you. Yes.
So let's start off by talking about the changing of the name from the Chula Vista Nature Center, because that's a name that's been branded in San Diego for years and years. What precipitated the change of name?
It has been branded for about 24 years. And when we transitioned from the city of Chula Vista, when we lost all of our funding, it was talked about rebranding at that time. Unfortunately, I resisted. I said, we're too busy. We have other things to do. But it's became apparent over the years that we need to have a brand that focuses on what we really do. And the new name, Living Coast Discovery Center, focuses on what we do. What we're about is where wonder happens naturally on San Diego Bay.
Can you talk about the original establishment of the Nature Center and what its mission was?
Absolutely. At the time the institution was established, it was during a time when cities had a lot of money. And the folks in Chula Vista, they thought ahead, and they thought, we need a place to talk about the wetlands here. Wetlands today, there's only 10% left in California, but even 24 years ago, it was recognized that a place like this was needed. Originally, it was a very museum-like place. It was not designed to be self-sustainable. It didn't charge admission. There was no incentive to have programs. But now that we have to operate as a business, we've had to reinvent the institution and run more like a business.
So there's a lot more interactive exhibits there these days.
Absolutely. The difference about the Nature Center, or now the Discovery Center versus some other places, is we're about discovery and exploration. It's a relatively small place, but it's a place where kids can discover, where they can connect with the living earth, and they can also discover coastal animals, coastal plants, and coastal habitats in a kid-sized place.
How often do you find adults or kids being surprised at the volume of wildlife that's in and about San Diego Bay? Do you find they're surprised, like, oh, I didn't know this was here?
Most people are unaware of what's in San Diego. If you look on a slightly bigger scale besides San Diego Bay, San Diego is classified as one of 25 global hotspots in the world. What that means that there's still 60% of our biodiversity remains in San Diego. Only 25 places have been classified that way. So people are very unaware of what's around them. We give them an opportunity to see what's in the bay, what's in the wetlands, what's in the mountains. and to appreciate it.
Can you talk about the different components involved here, the bay, the wetlands, the mountains? Can you talk about how these processes all work together and why the Nature Center is situated in such a unique place in those wetlands?
Sure. It's a really important concept. If you think about where people live on Earth today, 80% of the population live within 100 miles of the coast. And that's where we have our big impact, because everything we do within 100 miles of the coast flows right into the ocean. Everything we do in agriculture and commerce, pollution, everything goes right into the ocean. Now, San Diego is a unique environment because we have all those environments much closer than 100 miles. We've got the streams in the mountains, the snow in the mountains, down it comes into the bay. So in a place like the Discovery Center, you can look around and you can see the mountains, you can see the oceans, you can see the bay, you can see the people in San Diego, you can see the people in Tijuana, and you can see the connectivity of all of those habitats and all those influences surrounded by a National Wildlife Refuge.
And, you know, I mentioned birds in the introduction, some of the birds that you can see there at the center. And I think when people think of Chula Vista Nature Center or just San Diego Bay, they're thinking in terms of wetlands or fish. Mm-hmm. Talk about the importance that a lot of those birds have on those ecosystems there.
Right. The wetlands are a very important area for a variety of species, not just the fish. They do serve as nurseries for the fish, but there's a lot of birds, especially the shorebirds, that use those wetlands extensively. These are birds that nest all the way in Alaska or in northern Canada, and they come down here in the winter to feed, and they have to gain weight and they have to grow before they can't make their migration back. Likewise, the swallows come up from South America and Mexico and they feed over the wetlands and then they fly back. So they're very, very important for fish, for birds, and also to filter water. They filter a lot of water with the vegetation before it returns to the bay.
Yeah, wetlands are one of those critical ecosystems which really are rapidly vanishing. I almost said drying up, but that might not be entirely inappropriate, but they really are a vanishing ecosystem, not just here in North America, but elsewhere in the world.
That's correct. A lot of our coastal habitats are becoming dead zones because of all of the water that carries pollutants, agricultural fertilizer downstream, ends up in an estuary, ends up in the bay, and there's so much there that life can't live. So we have a place where you can tie it all together, see animals that live around you all the time, see the raptors, see the leopard sharks, see the stingrays that most people never even think about around them here.
I've read that San Diego Bay is in a situation where there are some critical pollution concerns. The Chula Vista Nature Center is the Living Coast Discovery Center in a position to sort of do something about that or at least raise awareness about those concerns?
That's part of our message. We work in conjunction with the Unified Port of San Diego, and they have a very big environmental education mission about pollutants. And the bay has some problems. Over the years, people didn't take good care of it. That's consistent with bays all over the world. And so there's mitigation going on now. And part of that mitigation is educating people about pollutants and about how to live and about what not to send downstream. That's part of our mission.
The city was, for a long time, basically managing the Nature Center. It was it belonged to the city. It was like a park, almost, if you will. It was managed in that manner. At what point did the management realize some changes are going to have to happen and a nonprofit would have to be established?
Well, the city came to this conclusion in about 2008. They were running way, way behind on their budget. One year they had a budget shortfall of something like $24 million in 1 year. It's the second largest city in San Diego. And so they started making plans to close the Nature Center, and they made plans to terminate all the staff. At that time, I was on the board of directors of the nonprofit side, and we worked with the mayor of Chula Vista, with the San Diego Zoo also, to develop a sustainability plan for the Nature Center, to create a business plan and a business model that could keep it alive ever since we've been on our own.
Was it a matter of taking some baby steps and learning how nonprofits functioned, or did you have some folks on staff who were already pretty sharp as to how those things worked?
Hard to say if we're pretty sharp. But I've spent the last 35 years working in zoos and aquariums, and this is the second one I've transitioned from public funding to nonprofit operation. There's no baby steps involved. It was one day the funds were gone, and it was time for us to operate on our own.
Talk a little bit about not only your education, but also your career and what brought you to the Nature Center.
Well, what brought me there, I grew up in Chula Vista, which is unique in itself. And then when I was a youngster, I worked at the San Diego Zoo in animal care. I worked at SeaWorld in animal care. Went away to veterinary school, came back to SeaWorld as a veterinarian, and then moved away from San Diego. And for 17 years, I lived around the United States working at zoos, aquariums, and all in all, I've done full or part-time work at 35 zoological institutions worldwide, a lot of work in Asia. But when we came back to San Diego, I got involved with the Nature Center because I'd had such a good upbringing in Chula Vista. I'd really enjoyed that community, and I wanted to pay back to the community. That's how I got on their board.
Growing up in Chula Vista, were there any particular places you enjoyed going to that really nurtured this excitement and interest you had in zoology or and animals in general and protecting ecosystems?
When I grew up in Chula Vista, it was largely agricultural. We still had tomato fields, we had orange groves, and we had a lot of undeveloped land that we used to hike in. So I was always looking at snakes and birds, and I was always in the ocean either fishing or diving or surfing. So I grew up with animals, and it was really an aptitude to work with animals. I don't think I'm fit for a real job. I need a job that has a lot of stimulation, that's different every day. And if you work with animals, every day is different.
You know, San Diego, one of the unique components of this part of Southern California is canyon country. Because a lot of neighborhoods like Claremont are sort of built in the midst of all these canyons, sometimes folks don't necessarily appreciate those ecosystems, those little ecosystems that grow in those canyons and how they differ from what you'd find on the mesa tops. Can you talk about how those environments, what those environments were like in Chula Vista and how they've changed over the years?
Well, I think you just touched upon one of the elements of why San Diego is a global hotspot for biodiversity, because we have such diverse habitat. If we were in the Midwest, sometimes you have fields that go on for miles and miles and miles. But here we have lowlands, we have wetlands, we have vernal pools. And in Chula Vista, we had canyons. We had canyons. And today they're more or less little island ecosystems. But at one time, they were all interconnected. If you went out east of Chula Vista, there were burrowing owls by the road. You'd see tarantulas on the road. You'd see snakes every day, turkey vultures, raptors of every kind. So it was a very different world, and it was much easier for people of my era to come to appreciate that than it is for kids today that are surrounded by more people.
Talk a little bit about the importance of getting kids out to a place like the Nature Center. And what's the first thing that you've noticed in your experience that kids notice when they come to a place like this?
Sure. The kids are really easy to teach with live animals. Kids are fascinated by live animals, and they're very engaged. And when they come out of their bus, they immediately run up and look at the sea turtles. And they know what sea turtles are. They see them in cartoons. They see them in Nemo. And by having a connection with those animals, touches their heart, opens their mind, and then they can learn. And so we're not so much about teaching facts as we are teaching an appreciation for life and a connection to the living earth.
You know, the volume of school kids that go through the center's doors every year is really amazing. And like a lot of parks, it's grown into something of like an educational institution. You must see the same teachers from year to year, I would imagine.
We do. And you touched upon another important point there, and that is outdoor space. On the western side of Chula Vista, it's an underserved population, and there's very few parks there. And one of the things that we do is get kids outside. And probably more than anything kids need today is to get outside, because they've become inside people. So you can talk about obesity, and you talk about it in relation to diet, but it's also about activity and being outside. So we see ourselves as a really surrounded by a living outdoor laboratory. And we have two classes that run there all the time, and those kids are studying live animals. They're out in the marsh. I was figuring the other day that we've had almost 500,000 students have visited the Nature Center since it was founded.
From all over the county?
All over the county.
Well, Anna, I want to talk a little bit more about the upcoming event. It's the Where the Wild Things Are Food and Wine Classic. And we're going to talk more about that in just a couple of moments. But how long have you been with the Nature Center?
I've been with the Nature Center since August of last year.
What were you doing before then?
I actually moved from Nashville, Tennessee. I used to work for a nonprofit called the Tennessee Wildlife Federation. Do you know about that?
I totally know those. Yeah, it's a great organization.
Yeah,
good for you guys.
I used to run a program called Great Outdoors University, where we took inner city kids to the outdoors and exposed them to the outside. So basically just getting them out of the city and into farms and learning about the outdoors through free play.
Were you there during the floods in Nashville?
I was. It was an interesting time for the whole city. But something that was so devastating like that was really interesting to see how the whole city came together to help each other out. It was a really fascinating thing that turned out to be actually something good for the city as far as a whole community effort.
If you're just joining us, this is Living Better in San Diego on the San Diego Lincoln Financial Media Stations. I'm Tommy Howe, and joining us today is Dr. Brian Joseph. the executive director of the Chula Vista Nature Center, now known as the Living Coast Discovery Center, on San Diego Bay in Chula Vista. And also joining us is Dr. Joseph's executive assistant, Anna Ransler, also with the Living Coast Discovery Center. We're talking about the center's Where the Wild Things Are Food and Wine Classic. That's happening June the 2nd. Now, tickets are on sale now for the event. They are $65 for members and $75 for non-members. Guests must be 21 or over to attend. You can purchase the tickets by contacting Anna at the Chula Vista Nature Center at 619-409-5903. That's 619-409-5903 or via email at anna@cvnc for Chula Vista Nature Center, cvnc.us. More information on the Where the Wild Things Are Food and Wine Classic can also be found at the website chulavistanaturecenter.org. That's chulavistanaturecenter.org. Root phone number for the center is 619-409-5900. And Anna, talk a little bit about what's going to be happening this year at the Food and Wine Classic.
Yes, well, this is the third annual Food and Wine Classic for the Nature Center, now the Discovery Center. It's a great event for, like you said, for adults, for a mature audience. There will be alcohol there. But it's a really fun outdoor event. Some of our vendors are Coconut Bliss, Miguel's, Rubio's, Trader Joe's, Villa Capri, and Sprouts, just to name a few. Guests can walk around the Nature Center and explore the grounds and be able to take little samples from these wonderful restaurants. And also, what I think is so great is that you can walk around with a wine glass in your hand and sample different wineries that are going to be at the Nature Center, including the PRP Wine International Winery and Barefoot Wine. There will be a lot of animal encounters that are going to be happening throughout the day. There'll also be really fun music. We have a jazz musician coming in. Sharon Dubois will be there. It's really a great event and our biggest fundraising event of the year. So our sponsors are SDG&E and BAE Systems and then Tijuana Duty Free. So we're very excited to have them helping out with the event.
So let's talk a little bit about the restaurants and also some of the celebrity chefs who are going to be appearing for the event as well. This is a real treat if you're going to be showing up for the event.
Definitely. The celebrity chefs are, I think, are one of our biggest attractions as well. This year, we're going to have Lance Rep from La Valencia, and then also Jeff Roberto from Sushi on a Roll, just to include the two there. They both are new to the event this year. And then some other restaurants that we're really looking forward to attending are Coconut Bliss, Roberto Di Felipe's Steakhouse, South Bay Fish and Grill, again Sushi on a Roll, Trader Joe's, Villa Capri, Los Arcos, and Z Pizza. We are still looking for more vendors, so if there are restaurants out there that are interested in attending, we would love to have them participate.
And you can be reached either at 619-409-5903, or your email address is anna@cvnc.us.
That's correct.
anna@cvnc for Chula Vista Nature Center.us.
Exactly.
Can you talk about some of the specific programs that the Nature Center does throughout the year?
We do host camps for kids ages 4 to 18 throughout the entire year. Actually, the summer camps are coming up, and we have around 47 camps for kids. And then also we have live animal encounters that guests can sign up for each day. For instance, they can have a personal encounter with a sea turtle, so they can go behind the scenes, which is really something I think is really special. And personally, because I have petted the sea turtles, which was really exciting. People can, and organizations can rent out the facility for different events. It's a great place to have an event just with a scene on the South Bay, and you can see the downtown from the Nature Center. It's a beautiful place to host birthday parties and weddings. And then the biggest thing that we have going on though right now is our Washed Ashore exhibit. And it's an exhibit that features, currently we have 15 life-size sea creatures that are all made up of trash that was actually washed ashore on the Oregon coast. So it's taking something that's really not very pretty and turning it into this beautiful art. I guess at the food and wine event can go around to the different exhibit, and that will also be there for guests to enjoy. So
now I want to go back and I want to talk a little bit more about that exhibit. But first of all, you mentioned the animal encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have snakes?
We do. We do have snakes. We have Rosie Boa, for example.
Rosie Boa?
Yes, the Rosie Boa. But guests can actually interact with the snakes, and it's a really fascinating thing. If you have a fear of snakes, it's a really good chance to actually get over that fear, to see one up close. So,
do kids like that exhibit?
Oh, the kids love it.
They love it, yeah. What are some other animals? You mentioned sea turtles.
The sea turtles are, I think, one of the most popular attractions that we have. We also have different marsh birds. You can't necessarily do a personal interaction with some of these marsh birds, but you can see them in the exhibit, actually go inside the exhibit to look at them, which is really neat. Our clapper rail, which is endangered, just recently had chicks, which is really exciting, especially for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our shark and ray experience, which is a really awesome thing, again, for kids and adults. You can go into the shark and ray exhibit. There is an actual tank that you can pet the stingrays. It's really a neat experience for kids to be able to actually touch these animals and to just be so up close with them.
That's for little kids and big kids.
That's for little kids and big kids,
yes. Sounds great.
And then also our birds, our hawks, for example, our red-tailed hawk is a really popular bird that a lot of people come to see as well.
Any eagles?
We do have both the American bald eagle and the golden eagle.
Great.
So we have a lot of...
That's a pretty good list of animals and wildlife there. That's great.
Yeah.
I still like the snakes the best. But
the snakes,
I'm a big fan of the eagles, too. Yeah. That's great.
It's a fun event, again, for adults and for, like I said, for the staff, too. So the staff can get really involved, and it's a good way for the community to come together and to really just have a good time and to eat and drink from local restaurants and to be able to relax and be outside and enjoy the Nature Center all in one day. If they've never been before, it's a great first visit, especially.
What exhibit is your favorite?
Oh, gosh, that's hard.
I know it's like picking your favorite song. But
yeah. Let's see. I really enjoy... I walk by them every single day. I love the red-tailed hawk. He's one of my favorites. And then actually, the bald eagle, Franklin, will sometimes talk to you if you say his name several times, which
yeah.
I think is awesome. So, yeah, no, he's a really neat one to have at the
Franklin the bald eagle. I love that.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
Yeah, and we actually have a lot of calls about the bald eagle, so...
Dr. Joseph, is there a particular favorite you have?
Oh, yeah. It's very easy for me to choose.
Yeah?
My very favorite is Mariah. Mariah is an American kestrel, which is a very small raptor, the smallest raptor in North America. And she's just a beautiful little thing. She's my favorite.
Yeah, I think it's really wonderful that you have this remarkable array of birds there as well. Again, mm-hmm. when you think of the San Diego Bay, you don't necessarily think of a lot of the birds that you find around there. Talk a little bit about how unique some of these creatures are to San Diego Bay. There's some creatures here which you may not find a few hundred miles to the north or south.
It's very true. I think the green sea turtle is a good example of that. We're the northernmost range of the Eastern Pacific green sea turtle. And most people in San Diego don't even know they're in the bay, which is remarkable. You think of Hawaii, you think of Mexico, but the sea turtles are out there, which is great. Some of the shorebirds, as I mentioned, they're highly endangered. The clapper rail that Anna mentioned, it's an indicator species in wetlands. When the wetlands start to go south or they're disrupted, the clapper rails disappear. And we have a program, a propagation program, in conjunction with SeaWorld and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and we've released over 300 of these highly endangered species back into the wild, which is a great program. So as we said, it's a very diverse environment. It's not like what people think. And most people don't even see the birds in the wild. They don't look up. People don't look up. They look straight ahead. And so they miss the things that are overhead.
Don, we talked a little bit about the Washed Ashore exhibit, which I think is great to always go and raise the awareness about plastic showing up in places like San Diego Bay and the ocean. If it winds up in the bay, it's going to wind up in the ocean, and it does not do wildlife or anyone else any good when it winds up there. Dr. Joseph, can you talk a bit about how plastics are affecting a lot of the animals?
Plastics are an interesting thing. They've only been around maybe the last 40 years. And if you look back 20 years ago, there weren't plastic water bottles, there weren't plastic bags. But they're such a part of our culture now. When I was in the Middle East, our troops won't drink water that's not in a plastic bottle. And none of them are recycled in the Middle East. So we've made these heaps and heaps, mountains of plastic bottles. But what happens when they end up in the environment is they don't break down for hundreds of years. And when they do break down, they break down into bad things. And there's places in the North Pacific where the particles of plastic outnumber plankton 6 to 1. So what you have is marine animals that eat the plastic and they die, or they feed the plastic to their chicks and they die. Plastic's going to be a bigger problem for us pretty soon, because the Japanese tsunami took an enormous amount of plastic out to sea. Within a year, it's going to be on our coast.
And I've read bits about Midway Island, which I think everyone knows from the World War II battle, but now that's almost an indicator now of how bad things have gotten. There's a lot of plastic on the shore there.
If you look at the islands in the Pacific, like Midway or Laysan, there are bird rookeries there. And the poor seabirds go out and eat the plastic because they can't tell it's not food. Come back, feed their chicks, and when the chicks die and they waste away, you'll see the perfect outline of the chick's stomach full of plastic. It's very sad.
Well, I'm glad to see that you're heightening awareness utilizing the Washed Ashore exhibit. And you said there's 14 different pieces of art?
There are 15 right now, but something that's going to be happening at the event that's really exciting is that one of the pieces, which is the leopard shark, is actually being made specifically for the Nature Center, soon becoming the Discovery Center. So this piece will actually be presented at the Food and Wine event on June 2nd and announced. And so we're very excited to have this piece, and we'll be able to keep this piece, this leopard shark, after the exhibit has left, after September 3rd. So we're very excited to have that, and we can continue to teach the public about that even after it's left the facility. So.
Well, it sounds like a great way to spend the day. Saturday, June the 2nd, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., the Where the Wild Things Are Food and Wine Classic. And there's more information at ChulaVistaNatureCenter.org. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, it was really great having you on today. I've wanted to have the Chula Vista Nature Center, now the Living Coast Discovery Center, on for a long time. I'm really glad we could make time to do this today.
Well, thanks for having us. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Dr. Joseph, Anna, very nice meeting you. Good luck with the event, and we'll talk to you next time. Take care.
We hope to see you there.
Thank you.
That's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of Living Better in San Diego on the San Diego Lincoln Financial Media Stations. Many thanks again to our guests, Dr. Brian Joseph and Anna Ransler from the Chula Vista Nature Center, now known as the Living Coast Discovery Center. The Nature Center's Where the Wild Things Are Food and Wine Classic is happening June 2nd. Tickets are on sale now, and for members, it is $65 for a ticket, $75 for non-members. Guests must be 21 or over to attend. And again, you can purchase tickets by contacting Anna Ransler at the Chula Vista Nature Center at 619-409-5903. That's 619-409-5903. You can also contact her via email at anna@cvnc.us. anna@cvnc for Chula Vista Nature Center. .us. Sponsorships are also available for the Where the Wild Things Are Food and Wine Classic. For more information on sponsorships for the June 2nd event, please contact Juliana Schroeder at juliana.schroeder@gmail.com. And for more information on the Where the Wild Things Are Food and Wine Classic, you can go to the Chula Vista Nature Center's website at chulavistanaturecenter.org. That's ChulaVistaNatureCenter.org. The opinions and views expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of Lincoln Financial Media. All episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available now on this station's website in downloadable MP3 form on the Living Better in San Diego page. Thanks again for making Living Better in San Diego a part of your Sunday morning. I'm Tommy Howe. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and be well.